today on Anchored in the Word.
All you, His servants, and those who fear Him, both small and great. So that's the word for anyone. It's this idea of living a life. That's what worship is, okay? Living your life in a way that you just praise the Lord. Whether things are going great. Hey, it's easier, isn't it? To praise the Lord. It's almost like the praises of the Lord come out when the things are seemingly, things are going our way, right? And then sometimes it's harder. It's a sacrifice of praise.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Do you feel like you're constantly praising God regardless of your circumstances? This is nearly impossible for us here on earth. We're constantly distracted from God. In today's message, Pastor Bill shares about our future life in heaven. Here, our purpose will be fulfilled when we are constantly singing hallelujah to our God. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's study.
Revelation 19. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 of Revelation 19. So last book of the Bible, we're getting towards the end of the Bible, not much more to go. We'll be finished, we'll start over in the book of Mark as we come through the New Testament again. We're continuing through midweek, we're in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read the first 10 verses in chapter 19. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! Then the voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We're going to get a look into heaven this morning. It's a real place. I know there's been a lot of books written about it. I've never really read one, I don't think. But I know this, that this particular book, the Holy Bible, has a lot to say about heaven. It's a real place. And this morning we'll get to see a little bit of what's conducted there, what's going on there. One of the words that is going to be used in heaven is this word, Alleluia. Can you say, let's say it together, Alleluia, Alleluia. Now, it sounds like Hallelujah, right, with an H. What that is the Hebrew version of the word. So this word, Alleluia, means the same thing. You know what it means? Say it louder. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's what it means. Praise the Lord. That's what Alleluia means. Yah being the end, and Yah is His name. Yahweh. Yah, that's God's name. So it's Alleluia. It means praise the Lord, you know, praise Him. And so, Alleluia, interestingly enough, this is a transliteration of the word hallelujah in the Hebrew. This is Greek. So it's only used four times in the New Testament, this word Alleluia. And all four are going to be here in the verses we're going to be covering this morning. It's only used here, but it means praise the Lord. I mean, that needs to be a part of our vocabulary as Christians. It's very much a response to who He is and what he's done and what He's doing. It's like, praise the Lord. You know what that is? When a Christian says that, what's happening is they're acknowledging God in their midst, right? They're acknowledging God for who He is, for what He's accomplished. It's like, praise the Lord, you know? It's like, it's a response to something, right? And it's a form of worship. It's praise the Lord. So we're looking into heaven here in the first, you know, several verses here, and they're all about praising the Lord. Listen, when we get to heaven, and by the way, I hope you're looking forward to going there. And there you go. And so we're going to be there all together. All the believers in Jesus Christ are going to be there. And there's not going to be any more misdirection. In other words, you know, in this life, even after you come to Christ, there are times when our worship gets misdirected. You know, misdirected worship. You see, this is the truth of the matter. You have been created, all people have been created to have fellowship with the living God, to experience Him, to worship Him. When you see Him for who He is, there's no other response is to worship Him, to bow down. He's high, we're low. That's just the way that it is. And in heaven, nobody has to tell you, get down there, bow down. It's time to kneel. You don't have to tell. It's just like when you see Him, it's like, whoa, you just go down. It's a natural response. And praise the Lord are natural responses. And I hope it doesn't offend you or you aren't put off by Christians that say praise the Lord all the time. Because that's the way it's going to be in heaven. Maybe it's just a reflection of where you're at in your Christian walk, and you need to maybe look into that or ask God to help you in that regard. But in heaven, everything's in a right order. God's on the throne, and everybody else isn't. I mean, they're just around, and they recognize and acknowledge Him. And they're all, every time we look into heaven, they're happy. They're content with their lot. I mean, we've got people, it says 24 elders, we're going to see them today, they're on the thrones. They're on, not the thrones, they're on thrones, apparently. So in other words, they have a position in heaven that other people don't have. But you don't know of any, oh man, he's on the throne and I'm sitting over here in this section, or I'm in the nosebleeds up here. There's no complaining there. Everybody's content with their lot because they're like, wow, we're here and it's the Lord. It's all about Him, and I can see Him, I can experience Him. And I'm not all worked up about not having this or not having that. I've got everything I need right there. It's the Lord. And you see, that's the way it is in heaven. They all know that. They're content there because they're there with the Lord. That's what we have to look forward to as Christians. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. And sometimes, you know, our worship gets misdirected. And God wants to correct that for us this morning if that's the case. After these things, pick it up in verse 1, chapter 19. After these things, what things? Important to note, after the things that happened in chapter 17 and chapter 18, what happened? Well, God judged. God did away with, in chapter 17, the world, the one world religious system. He judged that, the one world religion. That was Satan-based. By the way, I want you to know something. If you didn't know this, this is an important fact. If it's not Christianity, it's not a true religion. It's not true religion. It's not. It's wrong. And I'll go one step farther. If it's not true Christianity, Satan's behind it. Now, I know it's hard for a lot of people to hear, but that's reality. And he has little twists and turns, but it's all him. And somehow what's going to happen is all these false religions are going to come together and they're going to find something in common and they're all going to be worshiping the Antichrist. That's all going to happen. Satan himself's behind it, so he's going to take all his little fringe groups that he's got now, all his little different religions that are false religions, they're going to come together, and they're going to worship the Antichrist on earth. That's going to happen. Remember, we're looking into the future now when we get to this part of the Bible. So there's going to be a seven-year period, and during that, the end of that seven-year period, chapter 17, God's going to judge that one world religion, show it for what it is, and destroy it. And The thing about that religion is it takes people's eyes off the true God. You see? Misdirected worship. It's religion after all, right? It's their religion. It's their religion. What are they worshiping? Well, they're going to worshiping the Antichrist. Anything that's not the true religion, where your eyes are fixed upon the living God, the God of the Bible, is false religion. And God judged that. He did away with that, the distraction of taking people's eyes off of the true and living God. Chapter 18, the other things he's talking about, when that world system, the Babylon, the commercial Babylon, political Babylon, that was taking people's eyes off the true and living God. And we sense that today. We're not, that one world government isn't happening yet. One world political system hasn't happened yet. But we can see the handwriting on the wall, can't we? Going towards that, finding something there in common. And it'll all be about the Antichrist, but there will be people buying and selling, and it'll all be about consumerism. And what does that really do? The damaging part of that is that it takes our eyes and our attention off of what's most important, or who is most important? God. You go from one thing to the next. You buy something and it makes you feel good, and then you start looking for something else because you realize, oh, it's not there. And it becomes a form of worship. Now, worshiping the self, your things are idols. They become more important to you than God. God judged that in chapter 18. He judged that system that was deluding people and taking them away from God. And so we get to chapter 19, and he says, after these things, after the judgments, John says, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. I like that. There's a lot of people there. A lot of people, a great multitude in heaven. So know this, is that it's going to be packed out. And they're going to be on the same page. Can you imagine? I tell you what, I love going to the men's conference in Sandy Cove, because there's about 1,000 guys in this room, and it's an old gymnasium that's got a rounded, like a Quonset hut type of a roof, you know what I mean? Like rounded. And you get in there, and you get these 1,000 guys, and they are singing their hearts out to the Lord, and it is a great sound. And that, to me, that particular place right there is, when I get there, I imagine myself being at the throne of God. I mean, we are there spiritually, but I'm just saying, this is maybe what it's going to sound like. I'm in the midst of these guys, and they're singing away. And they even made a CD I've got of that thing where I just play it here. But it's not as good. It's not as good as being in the midst of it. You know what I mean? It's like when you're there, it's like I get chills. I'm like, this is what it's going to be like. This is it. You get a little taste, a foretaste of glory divine, right, of what's going to happen in the future. But this great multitude in heaven, they're going to be saying, hallelujah, they're all on the same page. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Now, in heaven, there's not any, is he really in charge? Is he God? You know, nobody questions God in heaven. It's just the natural thing to see him for who he really is. And I think the thing that the people are all excited about in verse 1 is that he's our God. Can you believe this? Look at that. He's our God. And they realize, when you come to a place in your existence, when you are living the life that you've been created, really created to live, the way you've been created to worship God, and that is happening in your life, there's nothing better than that. Nothing can touch that. Hence, in heaven, everybody's going to be happy. And they're worshiping the Lord. He's the Lord, our God. Verse 2 says, for true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. See, God doesn't take it lightly when these people, when entities come along and they want to take help to deceive people to get their eyes off of true worship and what that is. God doesn't take that lightly. And he judges it, and it says here, and what they're celebrating in heaven is not so much they're happy about the people that got judged, because that's not God's heart. But they're happy that he made right, that God does all things well, and he's done this, because they say true and righteous are his judgments. It's just one thing about when you get to heaven. You're going to understand all those questions that maybe you had on earth. Some people say, well, I'm going to ask them. No, you're not going to ask them anything. It's all going to make sense. You go, oh, man. But here, people question God. Why did, if there was a loving God, why did he do it? You know, and those kinds of questions, you know, and here's the reality. Consider this. When you ever ask that kind of question, You're really saying this: if I were God, I wouldn't do things that way. Think about that. Let that sift in a little bit. If I were God, I wouldn't do it that way. I would do it a different way. I'd do it this way. Be careful with that one. Well, you know, Satan, the one behind all these false religions and everything else, you know, he was the originator of that idea. And Isaiah chapter 14, this is called the fall of Lucifer. Isaiah 14, starting in verse 12, he says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." If I were God. That's what Satan wants you to believe. By the way, it's nothing new. He did that, and he got Adam and Eve to buy into that, right? Later. You know, if you eat of that fruit, you can be like God. So true worship goes on in heaven, and he does all things well, including judging. He meets out just the right judgment. You know, if God didn't judge, he wouldn't be righteous. If he didn't deal with sin, he'd be a liar, and he wouldn't be righteous. He has to deal with sin. Eventually, it will be dealt with. Because he says he's judged the great harlot, that's the one world religion, who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Remember back in chapter 6, verse 10, there was a group of people that said they came from under the throne, it said, and they were saying, "Lord, how long? How long before you avenge our blood?" They got killed by this one world religion, they were martyred for their faith. And God said, and they're saying, "How long, O Lord, before you judge them?" And he said, "You just wait. Wait some time. You have to wait some time." Here we are in those previous verses. And what's being pointed out is God meted out the judgment on these people, that he avenged their blood and the servants that were shed by her, the blood, you know, all these things, the bloodshed that we see through time, and it's happening today, it's being shed, even though it's not the one world religion, you could say, but it's the spirit of the Antichrist. It's not Antichrist, as we know, capital A, but the spirit of the Antichrist, John told us, is already here. It's already here. And God's going to deal with it. All these things, all these wrongs, he's going to right them eventually. Someone say, "Well, what's he waiting for?" Listen, he's got perfect timing. We're on his timetable. He's not on ours. He does all things well. He's above criticism. We do him a great disservice, and it's really a dangerous thing to criticize the living God. Verse 3 says, "Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever." And I want you to know something. They're making an observation here that this judgment that happened to the great harlot, that one real religion, is when you think about smoke that's going up, it's permeating. People are seeing it. People are understanding that this thing took place. You know, when you see a big fire, and you can see the smoke, you know, the smoke points to a fire. So this idea is being talked about by these people in heaven is that God made a statement. You know, God made a statement. Remember, these things are yet future. We're talking about things that haven't happened yet. But he made a statement, and he wants the world to know that. He wrote it down in the book, this statement that he made. But I want you to know something about God. And we'll see here in the next verse. And God's people, even though they point out the judgment that had happened, they're recognizing God is making a right judgment, but they don't sit there and laugh at, stomp on the dead bodies of, or whatever else they would do with the people that were judged. Because that wouldn't be the heart of God. His heart is that none would perish. And he's not happy about people that are separated from him forever. And he doesn't want us to be that way either. But look at the 24 elders, what happens in verse 4. And the 24 elders, they're the ones that are around the throne in heaven there. And the four living creatures, we've heard about them, they fly around the throne. They fell down and they worship God who sat on the throne saying, "Amen, Alleluia." In other words, the judgment that was meted out brought glory to God because they saw his wisdom in that and the fact that he dealt with things. He does all things well in his time. They weren't focused again on, "I'm glad that she got judged." You know, it wasn't about that. That's the heart of hate. Their focus is on the Lord. And I want to tell you something. To have the right perspective about terrorism, terrorist, or any other thing that is wicked and evil going on in the world, you have to have your perspective right with the Lord. That's the key. And then you'll see everything. Christians aren't supposed to bury their heads in the sand and pretend like things aren't happening. But if you stay close to the Lord, you'll realize you'll get a heart for the lost. You'll get a heart for the wicked, even the wicked people. Jesus said, you don't return evil for evil. You overcome evil with good, love, God's love. Because he doesn't want us to have hearts of hate towards people. We hate the sin, but we love the sinner. And there will be judgment on the sinners. It could be by a government judging them, but they will be judged. Verse 5 says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God. Now they got it in different, they said English now, right? Instead of saying hallelujah, it's like, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. So that's the word for anyone. It's this idea of living a life. That's what worship is, okay? Living your life in a way that you just praise the Lord. Whether things are going great. Hey, it's easier, isn't it? To praise the Lord. It's almost like the praises of the Lord's come out when the things are going our way, right? And then sometimes it's harder. It's a sacrifice of praise when sometimes, but listen, this is what we know for Christians. We have to believe this, and we know that all things do work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called. Even though they're not all good things, but they're working together for good. That's not a promise for everyone. That's a promise for the child of God, the one who loves God. So we can praise the Lord in any situation. You know, we shouldn't be a woeful people. We can change our woe into worship because we know what to do with it. God's doing something in this. We don't know what it is, but we can praise the Lord in it. In any situation, you can praise the Lord. It's a choice that we make to praise him, to worship him in the situation. Even before we see the outcome, the end of it. That's what they're doing in heaven. They're praising the Lord. Verse 6 says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as a sound of many waters. Every time I hear that in the Bible, I think of this. I think of this picture in my mind. You might have your own. You know, water makes sound, right? It does. Southern California, years back, I remember sitting on the beach. It was at night. And I was sitting back from the water. But I'm sitting there, and the waves are coming in. And they're going, and I could feel the sand just, you know, shake, and the sound, this deep, deep sound of just the things, you know, the waves crashing. Man, the sound of many waters. It was loud, and it was powerful. And the great multitude, it said, sounded like that, and the sound of mighty thunder.
There's much more Pastor Bill would like to share with you, but we've run out of time for today. This has been another edition of Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey. Pastor Bill will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Revelation next time. All of Pastor Bill's messages through the Bible are available to listen to at our website, anchoredintheword.com. That's anchoredintheword.com. While you're at the website, you can follow us on Facebook, learn more about Anchored in the Word, Calvary Chapel Coastlands, listen to more of Pastor Bill's messages, learn about other ministries as well as upcoming events and our location. That's all available at anchoredintheword.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From all of the production team here at Anchored in the Word, we want to say thank you for tuning in. We appreciate all of you that have supported this program. If you're a first-time listener or have been listening for a while, we would love to hear from you. Your testimonies have been a great encouragement to us. If you have an encouraging testimony to share, call us at 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. Or send us an email at office@cccoastlands.org. Now please make plans to join us again for the next study through the book of Revelation with Pastor Bill as we stay moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.
see.